you've probably seen them. Firm-jawed and resolute, they're the kind of hikers who take their efforts on the trail very seriously. If you happen to be in Europe, there's a good chance that those kind of hikers are German. It's practically a national sport in Germany to take a vigorous hike or an extended backpacking trek on their nation's amazing network of trails. Joining us right now on Travel with Rick Steves to help us enjoy the fresh air of Germany's nature trails is tour guide Thomas Gundlach. Thomas, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. And, hiking as well as bicycling has been a booming business over the last couple of years, not only because it was powered and also pushed forward by the health industry, by the wellness industry, also the government. If you have a look on the health cost today, if people get sick.
This is just German efficiency then. You know, we'll have less health care if you all get out walking.
Of course. Yeah, and you can combine it, and that is a big thing in the Rhine Valley, like in some others in Germany. You can combine it with tourism, and therefore you provide jobs. Yeah, you are setting up a hiking trail on both sides of the river, like that happened in the Rhine Valley, and you will see that people, these hikers, are no more belonging to a generation that they come on with a car and go home in the evening. No, some of them are really hiking a couple of days, spend a weekend, stay overnight, spend money in the bars, stay overnight and pay the hotel and so on.
So not only is it efficient from healthcare, but it's also good for the economy. Okay, let's get away from all of that German efficiency stuff and just talk about, there's this energy for hiking, even I think before the economics of it all. Yeah. Because, you know, we think of, I love to go a-wandering. There's this whole German, like, embrace nature and all-together hike. Tell us, have you ever been on a Volksmarch?
Yes, I have, actually.
What is, this is a uniquely German thing. What is a Volksmarch?
Yeah. Usually a local society sports club is organizing these. They are a member of the hiking association, a federal one, and they are having a look for a trail on which people can march. There are regular stops where you get a stamp on a paper.
So it's an organized hike.
It is an organized hike. You get a medal in the end usually. Nothing else, yeah, so no big prize or whatsoever.
No, but you do it to have the personal accomplishment,
huh? Exactly, and you have a record, and if you publish this record or allow them to publish it, then you can, of course, over the year, take part in more and more Volksmärsche or Volksläufe, and therefore your own credit is going up there, and you see how your ranking is depending on...
So it's competition.
In terms, yeah.
So there's a little German
some
competition
people,
here,
some people
too.
Take it as a competition,
this
others just for fun. Yeah, it's up to them. Yeah.
So it's there's hiking clubs that sponsor these?
Yeah,
and they will just announce, we're going to, in the Schwarzwald, the Black Forest, from Freiburg, we're going to have a Volksmarch. And is it several days or just one long day?
No, it's usually a one-day occasion. And usually they offer a route around about 20, 30 kilometers.
Mm-hmm. 18 or
20 miles.
Yeah,
even
like
more.
That.
But also usually a short version, because they are well aware that you have people who just want to enjoy the day in a huge community.
So there's a sort of a communal dimension to the hiking.
Yeah, it is.
Because in the United States, normally, the thought of hiking with 30 people, that sort of turns me off. I want to hike alone. But in Germany, you like to have a big gang to go hiking with.
In terms of the Volksmarsch, yes, of course. But the individualism with the people hiking in the Rhine Valley over the weekend or day to day, these are actually people who would never take part or rarely take part in a Volksmarsch.
I'm Rick Steves. Yeah. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with my friend and fellow tour guide, Thomas Gundlach. We're talking about hiking in his homeland in Germany. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Lynn's given us a call from Duluth in Minnesota. Lynn, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Thomas.
Hi.
My husband and I lived in Germany in the 80s for a little over 3 years, and Volksmarching was one of the favorite things that we liked to do on the weekends. And just last September, we spent a week in Heidelberg and decided to see if we could still do a Volksmarch. And we got on the web and found one in a little town called Idlingen, just a little bit outside of Heidelberg, and we hopped on the train and followed some of the older gentlemen with their hiking canes and found where the Volksmarch started and headed out into the countryside for a 10K walk through the forests and the vineyards and the little villages.
That's delightful, Lynn. And it sounds like any tourist can just go online and find out where one is and sign up. Is it that easy?
That's easy, and you don't even have to sign up ahead of time. You just show up at, it's usually a community center or a school, and since we spoke mostly English, they just signed us up with the Heidelberg International Wandering Club.
Oh, good.
And we got our little stamp card and headed out, and there were a couple checkpoints where you get your card stamped, and there's beverages and dog watering stations and some food. And
dog watering stations, so you take your dog, too?
Sure.
Yep.
Now, Thomas, would you say this is true, Thomas, that anybody who's sponsoring a Folks March, they just want more people to join in, so you can just show up and join the fun?
Yes, and I must actually say, during my army time, I was stationed for a while at Heidelberg. It was especially popular to have these international walks because there were so many U.S. soldiers stationed in and around Heidelberg, and it was also a form of getting to know each other. Yeah,
oh,
it was really, it was really a good idea.
Now, Lynn, did it cost you anything to join?
No, to do the Volks March, I think it was like €2 or something like that, just very minimal.
And it's really more than just exercise. You got a chance to meet locals and have some fun, look at the local cuisine and have a few drinks. What was the cultural experience like?
Well, you get to see and meet people of all ages. There's folks with young children walking along, older couples, people with dogs, just get to meet all kinds of people.
It sounds like a great way to connect with Germany that I don't remember meeting an American who's done it, and it happens all the time. I suppose it's mostly summertime.
Well, no, they're all year long.
All year long, great.
The best part is at the end where sometimes there's music, but there's always food and more beverages, and people get together for lunch.
So it's just a 10-kilometer walk, 6 miles. But there's a party waiting
for
you.
Some party afterwards, yeah.
So, well, Thomas, tell us about the best kind of party for at the end of a Volks March.
Well, if it is really organized by a club, etc., then they do this, of course. Sometimes for little money, sell the odd sausage and drinks, of course, to make some money for the club. And the partying all around is a typical German thing.
So you have some local beer.
Yeah, we always like this at the end of a hard day, and walking, hiking is a hard day too. And so good food and good drink belong to it in the end.
And can you have a beer outside in Germany?
Outside, no problem.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Of course you can. In the United States, you couldn't do that, because we have a problem with this. But in Germany, after a nice hike, you can have a beer right under the sky.
Right.
Beautiful. Lynn, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Debbie's on the phone in Tucson, Arizona. Debbie, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Debbie.
I'm so excited to be on with you. I might be your biggest fan in the world.
But, nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Thomas, I wanted to ask you, last year my husband and I hiked the TMB, the Tour of Mont Blanc in the Alps, and we really liked how it sort of combined the spectacular scenery and being out in nature during the day with being able to stay in charming villages, have great dinners, have a glass of wine with dinner, and kind of experience the culture, the local culture. And I was wondering if you had any recommendations for a circuit or multi-day hike in Germany that maybe would combine some of these elements too.
And first of all, Debbie, we should remind our listeners that the Tour of Mont Blanc you're talking about is around Mont Blanc, which is between Italy and France, right? And that's, what is that, like a 100-mile hike all around the whole Mont Blanc range with mountain huts?
I don't know the exact mileage. You know, you can do it in 5 to 7 days.
5 to 7 days.
Type of thing. Yeah, and you can actually hike down into the villages, which was what we did most of the time. And, you know,
that's the biggest mountain in Europe. And Germany has some decent mountains, but nothing quite like that. But maybe there's some great similar extensive hikes in the mountains. Thomas, what is a good idea?
If you're not bound to the mountains, in the mountains, of course, we have this too. But all across Germany, we see nowadays so-called premium hiking trails coming up. Premium simply means...
Premium.
Premium.
Okay.
Means that you have to meet a certain standard. A standard in length of the tour, of the entire trail, as well as the difficulties on the way. And while you were mentioning the Alps, many people from Bavaria, when they come in our area, the Rhine Valley, they are laughing and saying, can't be that exhausting here. We are natives, more or less. We are really Bavarians, and we hike the hills and mountains up and down, and that is exhausting. But then if you take them on a hike in the Rhine Valley, hikes are usually 20 miles up to 25 miles, let's say, a day there, to the next village, passing several others on the way, as well as many castles and other cultural and historical highlights. It's a lot of ups and downs. And I must admit, I was really exhausted one day at the very beginning when I did the hikes with a friend of mine. We went. In the end, we actually just saw that we made a big mistake. It looked very easy on the map, with all the lines indicating how steep it is and so on, and close. And we forgot that the lines were so narrow to each other that there were many, many valleys in between, which you simply haven't seen on the map, and turned out to be a long hike.
So the Rhine Gorge is quite dramatic.
It is dramatic, with a dramatic scenery.
Okay, now, Thomas, you're from the Rhine Valley. Yeah. Is there a little bit of local pride here, or are there great hikes in Bavaria, do you think, also?
There are great hikes in Bavaria.
In the mountains.
In the mountains. Zugspitze, near Berchtesgaden, all around the lakes in southern Bavaria.
Okay. Debbie, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Rick.
All over Europe, Germans are known for their walking sticks, and they tell me it's good for an complete body exercise. What's the science behind the walking stick?
Actually, that's what they told me too, but I don't use them anymore.
Well?
No. It's from the wellness industry and the health industry that they try to teach you how to walk properly, using your arms.
So you get upper body exercise.
Exactly, that the whole body is benefiting from it. But most of the hikers actually don't use the sticks.
No, but the traditional old guys with the felt hat will have a walking stick, a single one.
You will still see them.
The other ones are like ski poles, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But these old traditional, a single walking stick, and what I love about that is the Stocknagel. Tell us about the Stocknagel.
Yeah. There's badges on them, the Stocknagels, and just showing also with pride where they have been walking before. Yeah.
So if you do a hike, you will stop by the village when you're finished and buy a little metal medallion with tiny nails and hammered into your walking stick.
Exactly. That's still there, this tradition, more or less, you can say. I hope you can keep it up.
I think that's a beautiful thing. And when I was first traveling in Germany, I got one of those felt hats. And then you get the little pins also. It's not so much anymore, is it? Or do they still do that?
You can do that. The elderly folks do that especially. And
Now, when you're hiking, do you sing?
No, actually, we don't sing.
Because that's the tradition in the movie image of the Germans singing in the mountains.
This is changing around. Our generation is, less singing. We are rather running around, some of us, with an iPod.
With an iPod.
Listening to English music.
Very honest, very honest. In the United States, a lot of us learn to hike when we're in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. Is that the same in Germany?
We have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but it's by far not as popular as in the United States.
Now, I have a sense that with your Nazi heritage, you might be less inclined to join what might be thought of as paramilitary groups.
Yeah, we've got a problem with uniforms.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
As you said, it comes from our history. And
because in the Nazi times, everybody was in the Boy Scout group.
Yeah, had to be.
Required. And DDR in Eastern Europe, all the kids were in the Young Pioneers or whatever.
Yeah, Young Pioneers. We totally abandoned this, and therefore there was a huge drop in Boy Scout
kind groups. Of clubs, where you wear a uniform. tough to be selling uniforms in Germany these days.
Exactly. And the government more or less left it up to the sport clubs to cover this. And so if you're talking about hiking, very often the sport club has a hiking department today. And in general, not a Boy Scout-like thing with a uniform.
And if you want people to join your clubs, do not require a uniform.
No, not at all. Not at all.
In Germany.
Not at all.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're learning how to keep the membership up in your hiking club here on Travel with Rick Steves. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. We're talking with Thomas Guntluck, who joins us from the romantic Rhine Valley. And Stephanie's on the phone from College Park in Maryland.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Thomas. It's great to talk with you.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi. So my husband and I, we go to Rotenburg every year, and Rotenburg is a beautiful medieval walled city, but we don't stay in Rotenburg. The tour buses have discovered it, and we stay in a village outside in the countryside, and it's just so peaceful and beautiful. And our very favorite thing to do is to borrow or rent some bicycles and just go out into the countryside. And they have the most beautiful dedicated bicycle paths. Some are next to a road, but some are really off the road and just straight through farmland and woodland. And you come to little villages and maybe stop at a village inn for a glass of wine or some lunch. And, you know, for us, it is heaven. We dream of this all year long.
So now, first of all, the bike paths are well marked?
The countryside is just crisscrossed with many bike paths, and they intersect. Sometimes you come to an intersection and we say, oh, here's a traffic intersection in Germany. You know, it's three different bike paths come together. You can get maps with bike paths that show you where they are, and they're color-coded so you know which ones are by a road or not by a road.
You know, Stephanie, it's amazing to think that Germany is the size of Montana with 70 or 70 million. How many people in Germany?
80.
80 million people packed into this a country the size of Montana with one-third the industrial capacity of the United States to boot. And you can still get out on a bicycle and come to in the middle of nowhere to an intersection of three other bike paths. Germany manages its land in a beautiful way because you have that population density, but you can also very easily get out and be in touch with nature.
Yeah, for sure.
So
that's one of the things that we most admire is they seem to have less of the urban suburban sprawl that we have in America, where you might have to go through miles of in America strip development before you can actually get into the countryside. And here, you just go out the city walls, and immediately you are in the countryside.
Hey, Stephanie, you mentioned you don't go to Rotenburg so much because it's so touristy and overrun with tour bus groups. So you have a beautiful, private, secret little village. Could you tell me the name so I could help to ruin it?
No, I think I'd rather not do that. I think everybody should go, and maybe your first trip, you want to explore different areas, and you look for one that just really speaks to you. This place feels like this is what I love. And then the next year, you go back, and you just spend 2 weeks in that one place. And, you know, no village could handle everybody that Rick Steves knows, but there are so many of these beautiful villages.
Yes, good for you. Stephanie, you're... Well, I wish you'd tell me the name of that town, but you're still a great traveler. Thank you. And I don't blame you for keeping that a secret. And thanks for your tips on getting away from the tourists and getting to really touch the natural soul of Germany there. Happy travel, Stephanie.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Thomas.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. I've been speaking with Thomas Guntlach, and we're talking about the wonders of enjoying Germany with our feet. How do you say on foot?
Zu Fuß.
Zu Fuß.
Zu Fuß.
Zu Fuß. Deutschland zu Fuß.
Yep.
So, Thomas, hiking is clearly a big part of German culture. Where would you or your German friends go where you just feel so thankful to be German and living in such a beautiful part of Europe?
Well, forests belong to Germany, and that's what we are famous for, and therefore the best time to go on a hike is actually autumn, fall. We have Indian summers, like you're used to at the East Coast, and it's nothing better than combining this with a visit in the vineyards. The harvest is going on. Have some traditional food, some dish, onion cake, Federweiser at the end, the young wine of the season.
So you got your onion cake, your fresh wine,
Federweiser,
your colored leaves in the fall.
Exactly.
And name a place in Germany where that would be the easiest to find and enjoy. Is it in the Schwarzwald or what?
Not in the Schwarzwald. Here you have the forest, of course.
Yeah.
A lot of needle trees, however.
Right, yeah.
But go to the Rhineland area.
The Rhineland.
To the Moselle area.
The Mosel, that's beautiful.
And the Ahr area for red wine, you're rather for red wine.
Okay.
These are areas, the Palatine area as well, famous for wine and also the forest.
And as we talked with Lynn from Minnesota earlier, get on one of those folks marches.
Yes.
Do the 10K.
Yeah.
And then celebrate with all the good food and drink and music at the end of it.
Yeah.
And you can put a beautiful little pin on your walking stick. Thomas Guntlach, danke sehr for sharing the beauties of your country.
You're welcome.
What is the word?
Zu Fuß.
Zu Fuß. On foot.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wilner. Thanks to KUCR Riverside for studio help this week. You can listen again to each week's show and look up information about our guests in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And be sure to join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.